big a revelation. That the one that gets the hot revelation must be like the excursion train. You must let him loose.
Hallelujah.
And let the first wait. That's how I'd like to see God's church work.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
I tell you, no devil can come in here and disturb us.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, sometimes the devil will take occasion by our freedom. I've been in meetings where God, we let loose and give freedom, and somebody come and disturb the service and want to take it over. But you put him right there. Oh yeah, I was in a service just recently, and a man got up and said, "Stop!" Said, "You're not in the spirit." Amen. And I said, "Okay." He said, "I want to pray for you." I said, "Go right ahead." He prayed, finished, and I went right ahead. Praise be to God. Amen. Without a word. But bless God. There are disturbing spirits let loose in the church. And one of the things that is wrong with us, we don't meet together enough. We are not committed enough. We don't meet with our kind. We meet with other kinds. Yes. Unless you meet, he said, forget not the assembling of yourselves together, but yourselves is the key word. Who is the yourself? I'm not going to assemble with some of those up there. I want to assemble with my kind.
Amen.
People whom, when the word of prophecy comes forth, they can say, "Yes, yes, yes, that's the Lord."
Amen.
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 Who know what they're doing. I want to assemble with the spiritual intelligence.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. And so, when we assemble together, remember we feed upon Jesus in three dimensions. And one of the dimensions that you never get at home is the assembling with your kind. When the Lord God speaks to hearts, some people will be quiet. You won't make a move. You won't prophesy. You won't say anything. But your heart speak a word, and the word changes the meeting.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We want to assemble with people who are anointed of God. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. And through the anointed assembling, we will hear God. In other words, God moves in the body differently from how he moves at home. And I'm saying he's moving today in the body differently from he's moving at church.
Yes.
No, I said the body and church. You must know what I'm talking about. Because you can keep church and you can... You know what God told me one day? One day I was in the restroom praying. You ever do that? I was at work and there was no way to pray. And so at lunchtime, when everybody was gone for lunch, I would zero in on the restroom and begin to pray. And that day my problem was that there was a place up the street. And they didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. And they were saying that I am of the devil. Right? Because I speak in tongues. And they had a convention. So I said, let me go peep into this convention to see what's really happening out there. Because I heard that souls are being saved and a lot of things are happening. So I wanted to go peep in this convention to see what's happening. So I went up and peeped in. And I didn't need more than one peep to know that God was in there. God was in there saving souls. And I was upset. I said, but God, how could you do a thing like that? These people are against me. They say I'm a false prophet. They say I'm speaking tongues. I'm of the devil. And yet you are gone in there to have a good time with them. And to give them such blessings. And God spoke in an audible voice. Sometimes he does. I never know why. You ever found out why? That God would speak sometimes in an audible voice, and sometimes speak so strongly in your heart, and sometimes just a little beery voice that you can hardly discern, then you begin to wonder if it's your own mind.
Yeah.
Amen. But the ways of God are past finding out. So don't worry, try to put him on a psychological plan and say, you function this way, and so you will function out here this way. You'll miss
He won't function this way or that way according to studying him psychologically. And so, praise God, I was in there talking to God, upset at how God allowed these people to be getting such blessings and they don't believe in speaking in tongues. And he spoke in an audible voice and it filled the whole restroom. And he said, God, he called himself God. He said, God has a kind of halfway tree for halfway people. It so happened that the place, the name of the place where they were keeping the meeting was Halfway Tree. And he said, God has a kind of halfway tree for halfway people. I never forget it. That if you are halfway, God is going to meet you halfway. You're a quarter gospel person. He'll meet you down there. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Mark. You know, every time I see this saint before the thing, it hurts me. Cross it out. Saint Mark. I want you to turn to Mark, chapter 1, and in verse 14 and 15. Now, after that, Jesus was put in, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I want you to notice that carefully, that Jesus did not preach the gospel of the kingdom of God until John was put into prison. Amen. Very, very important verse. Anyhow, I'm not going to touch some of the importance of it because I would have to go into another message beside the one that God gave me this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let's read 15. And saying that time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This gospel of repentance and remission of sins shall be preached till the end comes, says God. I want you to see this, that there was a time of fulfillment. That no matter what you did, no matter how diligent you are, no matter how pressing on you were, you would not have brought the kingdom of God before the time. And there was a time of fulfillment. Now the weakness of this church and the weakness of this generation is that they don't know what time is now.
Yes, amen.
See what I'm saying? Is it time to buy and sell? Who was it? The prophet Tom? Which one of those brothers? What's his name? Huh? No. It's the prophet that run faster than the horses.
Elijah.
Hallelujah. Elijah asked his servant. The servant went out and took a bribe from Haman. This man had leprosy, which is a type of sin. He came to get healing. Elijah said to him, go dip in Jordan 7 times. Huh? Naaman. Did I say Haman? Oh, praise God. Somebody here understands what I mean. Naaman. And he went out and took a bribe from Naaman. And when he came into the prophet asked him, is it time? Is this a time, you know, to take bribes or to be collecting money? And the man got the leprosy that Naaman had. So praise be to God, I am saying, you should know if it's time to buy and sell. You should know if it's time to enter in a 10-year contract for some business. The people of God should be on top of the world with wisdom.
Yes.
Amen. The brother over there, in Dallas, he's an executive of one of the big financial firms in the United States, huh? John, yeah. And he said, it is his business to operate and to know the gold standard and whether gold is going up or down. And God came to him and tell him, say, don't touch gold. He was going off to buy gold for his company. God came to him and said, don't touch gold. Gold's going to fall, and it is going to fall below $400 by 1980. The end of 1980 is going to fall, and it won't come back up for a while. So don't buy now. You know what I mean. Get rid of the gold you have. He went and he instituted the policy in his company. He saved the company millions of dollars. They gave him a promotion. Amen. The children of God should have more wisdom than the people of the world. Oh yes. You know, and we should use the wisdom to survive. You better believe it.
Yeah,
the fullness of time. We have to find out what kind of time we are in right now, or else we're going to be in trouble. Let's turn to Galatians 4:4. If we don't know the time, we are in trouble. The fullness of time. In the 4th verse here of Galatians 4, we find, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Amen. When the fullness of time, do you notice that God works with time?
Amen.
God works with time. And the people of today, we are a people who are subject to time. Something that we must do, not because our grandparents did it, but because we are at a juncture of time.
Yes.
And we must take action. And God says he has been waiting, holding back the devil till we wake up.
Oh, hallelujah.
Because they say they all slumbered and slept. Mm. Did you notice that?
Amen.
That the good were sleeping and the bad were sleeping.
Mm.
That the wise were sleeping and the foolish were sleeping.
Yeah.
And God says that at that juncture of time, it is absolutely necessary for you to wake and to take action. And as we read in Daniel last night, that God said that there was a certain amount of action that the people of God would take at the end of time. So don't look back and say, my parents did so-and-so or so-and-so, and look back what was done in the past. There is something for you to do, and you must do it, and you'll have to do it, or else you're going to be in trouble. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We may be classified with the foolish. Amen. Ephesians 1:10, which is the main verse.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Now I want you to understand this verse in the three dimensions of its depth. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, plural, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Loose
God.
Now I want you to understand that the word here, the dispensation of the fullness, means Paul was trying to tell us something which is deep and beyond the natural understanding. That there is a dispensation of fullness. That there is an end of a dispensation of partness. half gospel, three-quarter gospel.
Yes.
And there is a dispensation when the preeminence of God will come forth in its people in a fullness. Oh, glory to God. There will be a fullness of knowledge. There'll be a fullness of understanding. There'll be a breakthrough, hallelujah, of God's word in his people. So much so that we will rise above the normal, the ordinary, the average. And we will become exceptional. Don't you hear, brethren? Don't you know that the gospel must come to its fullness? That the understanding of the gospel must come to its fullness? And if you understand to its fullness, you're going to act to the fullest measure.
Yeah, amen.
And it is the action that the rest of the verse speaks about. Because it says, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Don't you know what is in heaven? What things of Christ are in heaven? We understand that there are millions and millions of saints. And that there are men who have attained to a high measure of development in the spirit.
Yeah.
That Peter and Paul and James and John and all the mighty ones of God throughout all the ages, Moses, Elijah, amen, Enoch, way back from yonder there, they're all together in a certain dimension of the spirit.
Yes.
And they are together in one, waiting for the church to come up to a level wherein they can join us.
Glory.
Don't you know there's a work to be done down here that natural men will not accomplish?
Amen.
Don't you know that we're going to need spiritual power of very high dimensions?
Amen.
To accomplish that which God has ordained for us in this hour. The Bible said that the devil will be of great wrath. And I do not know if you have ever sat down to understand the magnitude of the power of the one that we call Satan. Amen. I know that if God allows Satan to loose his power upon the church, we would not survive.
Amen.
Oh no, we would not survive. And I happen to know that the only way we can survive is when God gives Satan, loose him, let him have the full power that is belonging to him. He will have to loose Peter and Paul and James and John and everything that belongs to us in the heavenly to stand with us and break the power of devil. It will be power against power.
Amen.
Amen. So we faintly see and we faintly understand what we are heading for at this time. I want to turn you to Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. And I show you a verse there so that you will understand that hell is not completely loose. Amen. In chapter 16, the Bible says, and the sixth angel sounded in verse 12. And this gives us the time that this will happen. Poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to battle at the great day of God Almighty. This is what we are trying to say, brethren, that there are some spirits tonight and today which are bound by God for the main reason that the church has not got that dimension of power. And the scripture said, he that lit it will lit. Until the enemy is allowed to rise up in the midst. So God will remove that hand that holds back. Hallelujah. So we see today that the children of God need a special understanding of spiritual depth so that they can understand what is happening.
Yeah,
we look into Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 1, we see that these spirits, our brothers in the spirit, are waiting and watching us. Seeing them, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I see the giants falling today. All the mighty men of God, all the one-man ministries are being cut down.
Yeah.
I see homosexuality, I see uncleanness of all kinds cutting them down. And I say, my God, what's happening? I'm traveling from Miami, from Fort Lauderdale, coming right through several states, and every state we get to, there is the story of destruction in the church. Hallelujah. And people are crying, and people are giving up. Some people are giving up their faith because they feel that God has deserted them. But that's not what has happened. I want to show you what has happened on the board here this morning. What has happened is that we are entering into a new dispensation. And the old is passing away. That's what's happened. The old church order is passing away. It has been already decreed in heaven, and the spirits are taking advantage of the decree. The church order is passing away. And every one man thing, every place that a man is set up as a pastor is being hit.
Amen.
Because a pastor, first of all, there was no such word in the Bible. No such word in the Bible. You see it in Ephesians, you might as well cross it out and put in the right word. There was a shepherd there. The word shepherd in Ephesians that God used. And somebody wanted to fix it up right, and he put pastor because he wanted to, the Rome wanted to make a hierarchy in the church. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy 1, the word there is episkopos, bishop, they translated. No such thing. No such thing. Somebody invent a bishop. All God was saying, it's a capital, not a capital letter, a common letter. He was speaking of the position of the elders who oversee the church. They call it overseer and make a position name overseer. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? And so, even the theologians are confused. The theologians are confused, but it is the backsliding of the church and the falling back. As a matter of fact, the scripture never said the church would fall away. Do you know that? The scripture never said the church would fall away. What God said is that the church would deliberately rebel against God and turn away, which a rebellion is an apostasy, apostasia in the Greek, and they translate it falling away. When you fall, you fall. It's an involuntary action, falling. But stepping away and turning your back is a rebellion.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what has happened. The spirit of the Antichrist has entered into the church system. And God has brought it to a close. And God is bringing forth his body. That's all. I asked God one day, I said, oh my God, how can you understand, allow all this thing to continue in the church? Because the Lord took me one side and began to show me the distress of the church. How he had called men, send them out, and the men turn away. And they get distracted here. And the other one get distracted here. Some get distracted by women. Some get distracted by money. Some get distracted by position. And all different kinds of distraction. And you lift up your eyes and you look out there and you see them start to preach that prosperity doctrine that if you're not rich, you're not doing good for Christian. And you become a full gospel businessman and you have to have money. And the more money you have, the more successful you have, the more godly you are. Isn't that so?
That's true.
Definitely. I have seen them. The full gospel businessman, this man comes and he tells a tale of success and how God made him succeed. And hallelujah, when you go into his business practices, he could never say God in there because his business practices are just downright carnal and worldly and terrible. Hallelujah. Had some business with one recently, and we had a payment to make, and we were 2 months short backward in our payment, and we paid him 1 month, and he called the lawyer and got the lawyer to make an order of repossession. Businessman of God, I'm talking about. You see, they're falling. They're falling. Babylon, said God, is falling. It's falling, he said, because it is become the whole of every foul beast and birds and devils reign over Babylon. Let me tell you, all these institutions, all these churches, all these banks, all these governments, devils are reigning over those that are reigning. You hear me? And I say, brethren, I say this without any fear of contradiction, that the time of the church order is over.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. If you want to preserve your little group or your church, just tell man to take his hand off. Man or woman, it's the same man. Tell them to take their hand off the church and let God reign in the midst. Praise be to God. We could talk about that later if you want to ask questions. But let us go on with this word. Yes, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And God said that this cloud of witnesses is going to become our partners in working. Now, if someone wants to be ridiculed, let him get up and tell you that God sent an angel to him.
Yes.
And that we're working with one of the brothers from up yonder. Immediately, he would be dubbed as a sorcerer. You know that? That's exactly what they call me in some places. Oh yeah. I'm a great... I'm thankful for that. You know, we're having miracles over in Bloomington. Praise God. In the First Presbyterian Church, if you please. Hallelujah. And the brother begin to inquire, what kind of man is this, you know, all around. And they sent somebody in there to spy us out, one of the officers. And when the officer came, I went up to the officer and said to her, praise God. God want to bless you. And she began to back off, you know. And I went to one side of the bench and she's on the other side of the bench. She has her hand on the bench. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And she said, all right, go ahead, you know. And she has her hand on the bench and I lay my hands on the bench. And I pray for her and zap. Amen. Amen. She got hit from the bench. Praise be to God. And she got saved. Amen. Amen. She got blessed. So praise be to God. I want you to know that what's happening now is that God is bringing in a new order.
Yes, amen.
The new order is called the body of Christ. The old order is called the church, as they call it. The church, you know, the call out. And some people were called out, but they never went any further. Mm-hmm. Amen. You call a man, and instead of coming to you, he went to church. Oh, yeah. A lot of people receive the Holy Ghost, and instead of obeying the Holy Ghost, they turn and obey the pastor. Amen. That's what the churches are doing to people. God calls you, they baptize you, initiate you into a religion. God calls you not to be initiated into a denomination. God calls you so that you might learn to go into the body of Christ. That's the whole idea about God calling you. God wants you to become a member of the body of Christ. Instead of you becoming a member of the body of Christ, you become a member of a church.
Yes.
You sidestep God. Amen. The Holy Ghost come and descend upon you and anoint you and begin to move you towards being a part of the body of Christ. You turn away and you go under a pastor. And you obey the pastor instead of Christ. Because, you know, one day I had gone and submit myself to a bishop. Because the brethren came to me and said, God, how could it be that you are a power unto yourself? My position was wrong, right? I was in the position of a bishop over four or five churches, but I was preaching out these churches and didn't know what to do with them, have no understanding of the proper order of God. God told me, but I couldn't do it. I just didn't know how to get around it. And so, bless God, I instead of being my own bishop, I decided to put myself under somebody and submit to somebody. And I thought I was doing a good thing. I found out that it wasn't of God. Amen?
Amen.
But when I went there, when God called me out of it, God said to me, I said to God, but God, I was working for the church. He said, you haven't been working for me. I said, but I've been working for the church. He said, but you haven't been working for me. You have been working for the church. And then I found out that the church wasn't God. Oh, yes. The church is going its own way. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't like to tell you what the end result of that church is going to be. That church is going into the Antichrist.
Amen.
Anybody want to bet? You wait and see. The church out there must go into the Antichrist according to the word of God. And I don't know what the people are doing there, but it's time to escape. As a matter of fact, the time is getting very late to escape. You get out of there later and you will never make it. They are going to bind you right now. The computers have everything about you. And anyhow you make a move, they are going to get you. Amen. Because they have it all docketed down. There was a little group down in Illinois. You might be reading it in your papers. I don't know if your papers show it. But the Chicago Sun-Times had 3 days of publication about the cult that was down in Illinois. Amen. And so this brother was blessed of God, a young strong brother, blessed of God. He was a football player. God blessed him, took him out of the football business. And he came to me and said, I want to submit to you, older heads, and we want to be together. But no sooner than some men came from England, he got involved with them and they went into a discipleship program. And we had to ask him to leave our eldership. So he left the eldership and have these young people in the college. We're on a discipleship program with some men from England. And they got so authoritative that they couldn't breathe without asking the elders.
Amen.
You are not supposed to hear from God for yourself. How dare you to hear from God for yourself? You need to hear from the elders. And so they went and got some order from government to deprogram, and they begin to capture the young people, and they got 9 of them and have them deprogramming them, and Chicago got into the act, and you know what it is. And it became a great distress. But the whole idea is that the church thing, God has written finish on it. It's at its end. And God is now encouraging his body. So if you want to be in the flow of God, you better move in the ministry of the body. That's all I can tell you. I am not having one little bad feeling about telling people, get out of the churches.
Amen.
It's not time. Is it time to go join church? Is this a time when you want to be under a pastor? I am saying get out of that condition and that position, because it is far past time. God's judgment is upon the church.
Amen.
System. Right now, God's judgment is upon that church out there, and all those who want to save their lives in God must come out from under the Babylonish system, for it's being reigned over by devils. Strong words. Now, this is the tabernacle. And we have the outer court and the holy place and the holy of holies. And this tabernacle is not only a symbol of the church, but it's also a symbol of time. There is a certain time program in the whole setup. Here is the spirit, soul, and body. Soul, body. And the soul is a type of the holy place. Amen. So as far as time is concerned, we are in the holy place, the woman. Type of the holy place, the woman, the soul. Let me write woman on top of here. Now, we then have 3 symbols in the holy place. And the 3 symbols not only symbolize certain action in the church, but it symbolizes time. There is a certain time plan in these symbols. Now, I'm going to show you the danger. The danger is that God's time is ahead of you. There are some men who are before their time, who press on in God, and they reach to God's point before God's time, fullness of time is come. You see what I'm saying? Let's look at a few of them. Like John the Baptist. Since John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus Christ, and he went out preaching while Jesus Christ was doing carpenter work. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He went out preaching, and he preached and preached and preached. He lived in the wilderness for a while, like a wild man eating wild honey and locusts. And he lived out there and lived out there and suffered, never lived a normal life. He never lived a normal life. Because he was called unto a purpose, and he couldn't have a wife dragging her up and down in the wilderness, eating wild honey and locusts. See what I mean? And little children eating wild honey and locusts. So God gave him a deliverance to be a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake, and he was out there among the wild beasts, getting his message straight.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. And when he got his message straight, he came down. You know what he was dressed in? Animal skin. How would you like to see a man come down with a tiger skin over him, you know, draped over one shoulder, and come down here, said he's preaching to you? You know what I mean? Sunday morning, the minister's up there with his collar, and everybody have on their Sunday best, and here comes a man in a skin. Amen. And he's going to preach to you. He said, go dress yourself, you know, before you come preach to us, eh? But praise be to God. When he preached, I understand that the Pharisees trembled because he was under the power of God. But he was before his time, and he had to wait until his time came. And when his time came, and when his time passed, what happened? They chopped his head off. I want you to hear that. Many of these people are going to fail. Not because they are not good people, but because their time is over.
Yes.
Amen. When his time was up, the Bible said, Jesus began to preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. And so, when Jesus' time was up, he said, it's expedient for me to go. For if I go not, the Holy Ghost will not come. And he said, when the Holy Ghost is come, he's going to lead the church into all things, and he's going to teach the church all knowledge. So the church without the Holy Ghost is a church without revelation. And the man who submits to the Holy Ghost is a man with revelation. And a man who does not submit to the Holy Ghost is a man without revelation.
Yes, glory.
Don't you hear? And God is speaking to these people at this time. The time we are in now is that we are at this point of time where God is saying it is time to get out of the holy place. Now, some people haven't got into the holy place yet, so they are in trouble because this area is the area of death. And Bible says death and hell will be let loose. Don't you understand? All the agents of death are already in place. I must have told you some years ago, we went to New York and we were in the planetarium. And as we came out of the planetarium building, some of you might know where I'm talking about. As we came out of the planetarium building, to the right hand, there was a long thing lying down by the wall. Mavis went to the left, and I went to the right. But when I stood there, the death came over me. Now, I don't know if any of you ever felt the power of death, but this thing was like a blackness that came right over me, and I was conscious, and I couldn't understand why death was over me. The shadow of death was over me. And I look and see Mavis out there. And I said, let me go out to her and ask her if she feels this power that I'm feeling. Something is wrong. But when I went out to her, the thing was gone. So I told her what happened and came back to the same spot, and death was over me again. I said, it must be something right around here that have the shadow of death hanging over it. And so I began to examine everything. But I saw this thing on the wall, on the side of the wall, about the length of this building here. Looking like a mini submarine. And I looked at it and I said, well, boy, what an awful feeling it gave me. Like, if a man would get in there, he would be, you know, it must have killed somebody or something. But something was hanging over there. So I bent down and looked and read it. And it said the Polaris missile. I realized it was the agent of death. I said, oh my God, if the piece of iron could have death hanging over it like that, what about the men who make it? They must be the very agents of death. Oh yes. How would you like to work in a plant like that? You know what I mean? That makes death. God said death and hell will be let loose. And this area, this outer court, is to be given to destruction. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. Says the outer court will be given to the Gentiles to trample underfoot for 40 and 2 months. Somebody read that for me.
That the court which is outside the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the nations, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 40 and 2 months.
42 months, that means for 3.5 years, there's a section of the church that's going to be under the foot of the Antichrist. And if it were one scripture that says so, you would say, well, you know, this it might not mean that. But look, it said the outer court there, right? But look in Daniel, and it said the saints. So there is no doubt about it that this is supposed to happen. Daniel 7. And that's verse 21. Somebody read that for me, please.
I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them.
But what this didn't say is that only some of the saints going to be trampled underfoot and prevailed against. You know? And there are several other places where it speaks of the saints being overcome by the enemy. In Revelation 13, it's there too. But all it means is that only some of the saints, only those saints who remain in the outer court, will be trampled. Now, there's going to be a trampling in the holy place too. You know what the holy place church is? We. We are in the holy place church now. Since I don't deem that any of us are in the holy of holies, why don't I put some of you in the holy of holies? Because the fullness of time hasn't come. The day of atonement hasn't yet come. When the high priest enter into his temple. Come on now, tell me when that is. It's once a year for sure in the natural, but what's in the spiritual? It's a time in the time of God, in the program of God. It's a time. When will that time be? Huh?
At midnight.
Full at midnight. Now, brethren, you'll admit that it's dark, that we have a lot of rough things going on, but do you think it's going to get darker?
Amen.
So we don't hit midnight yet. Amen. I can tell you my belief, and you can turn it around. I'm not telling you must believe that. But if you don't, you're going to be in some trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. Midnight is going to come in the world kind of suddenly. Although we can see it coming afar, so to us, it won't be like a thief in the night. But to them, it's going to be dreadful. They're going to be saying peace and safety, see? They're going to be making peace treaties with Russia, and everybody will be kind of feeling good about China, and everybody will be getting ready to relax for another 1,000 years. And then it will come suddenly. I believe that we're going to have a war. And I believe that all the weaponry that the devil has been storing up, and how he has been teaching our scientists to make destruction, is part of his plan to destroy, because his name is the Destroyer. I believe that it's going to happen suddenly, that they're just going to open up on us, because the element of surprise is their only hope to win. If they can take the Americans by surprise, they have maybe 70-30 chance, although they're not going to make it. But this is the plan of Satan. And I want you to notice the plan of Satan, how it has been working. Because the people who have eyes are supposed to see beyond what the world people are seeing. I believe because the Jews believe in God. I believe because they believe in the Messiah, that they have more vision than the United States government. Amen? All right. I believe that if the Jews had not gone up into Lebanon, that today we will be much, much nearer destruction than we are now. I believe that the foray up into Lebanon has put the program of Russia backwards. For some, in other words, I believe that he that let it is letting. I believe that God caused it to happen. And it has disrupted the whole plan of Russia. Well, you know, you notice that America intervened and saved the situation. America just badly wants to be destroyed. You know, so we saved the situation. Whereas the amount of equipment that the Jews found there was to equip a 100,000 man army for a year. All the ammunition there, man, a 100,000 man army could have used for 1 year. So what Israel has got is armament that can last billions and billions of dollars of armament. And I think she's going to sell it and make money off it. But this is what we are facing. We are in a time when God has to do many things to save us, to hold back. For instance, in the church realm, when the Pope and the World Council of Churches were going to sign an agreement, God allowed a man to shoot him and put off the thing. And it's over a year now, and they haven't signed the agreement yet. So you see, God is playing for time. Amen. Because the church is not ready. We are not ready. And so, I am saying that we are right here in time. Now, this is God's time we're talking about. God's time say you are ready to go into the holiest of all. But we are not. So we are somewhere in here, and let me take the points one by one. The holy place, the first point is union with Christ. That is, we are totally committed to a body of Christ operation and not to a church operation. Are we? Are we in this body, in this little group of people here, are we moving with one another as the body of Christ should move? Are we putting our tithes together into this little group? And are we coming together and said, now what will God have us do around here? Amen. Are we moving under the headship of the Holy Ghost or of Christ? Or are we still helter-skelter, scatter-scatter, wishy-washy? This is what I'm saying. The people of God are not about ready to move under Christ the way we'll have to move if a crisis comes. You can't expect to stand alone in a crisis. In a crisis, God wants his people to move together. How are you going to move together if you're not hearing God? You notice that when Eliezer went to get the bride for Isaac, what's the first thing he did? He put on earrings on her, golden earrings of half a shekel weight. The poor girl's head must have been bowing down. Amen. Oh, yes. Praise God. It means that the first thing a man needs is to have proper ears. The Bible said that there are some having teachers with itching ears. Teachers with itching ears. Teachers with itching ears. How would you like such a teacher? He hear this, he come teach it to you. He hear that, he come teach it to you. He hear that. We have a group down in Bloomington, Illinois. And lo and behold, come along to the group. The group split. What split it? Dick. You ever heard of Dick? The whole man, 95 years of age, split the group. How did Dick split the group? Dick fell down from his high position of writing the Dick Bible. And all the mistakes come together in the 95-year-old man. And all of a sudden he said, the Bible is not the Word of God. You don't hear about it? You guys don't hear about it?
No.
take it down in Miami now. And his new thing he comes out with, the Bible is not the word of God, the poor elder pick it up and start to preach it. That the Bible said, and the devil said, therefore it's not God's word. Amen. The Bible is God's word, brethren. And when God's word said and the devil said, it's not agreeing with what the devil said. It's going against it. So I have to tell you what the devil said. So don't let people deceive you. Don't let people deceive you.
Hallelujah.
with their intellectual nonsense. Amen. A man 95 years of age should be praising God. Hallelujah. For living so long. He's turning over all the work that he did. Amen. And now gone to say that the Bible is not the word of God. That is only partially the word of God. Amen. To me, a word is the meaning of the word. And if I am telling you that an old devil says so and so, hallelujah, it's the word of God. I'm putting him down. Yes, sir. I'm not building him up. I'm putting him down. And any word that you see in your Bible that's not a good word, it's putting down that word. And so it's the word of God that puts down the word of the devil.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. So we are going to have to be very careful, because here's a problem with us. I'm not talking about the problem out there now. I'm talking about the problem in this room. The problem in this room is that we are not in our place according to God's time. God's timing says it's time to enter into the holiest of all. And God's timing says it's going to light the fire in the outer court, and the fire shall consume the holy place, and the Antichrist will stand up in the holy place, tongues peeping, speaking, spirit baptized people, church. You hear me?
Yes.
We have been wondering at the actions of the Pope. We have been to study the actions of the Pope, have been wondering at his actions. Because this man is very wise, very cunning, has all the wisdom of the world. We heard recently that he sent a message to Russia and said, Russia, if you go into Poland, I'm going to drop off my crown as a pope, and I'm going to come into Poland and lead the people against you.
Ooh.
And Russia know that to have so many million people, they would follow him to the last man. Hey man, Russia knows that if she has so many million people against her, she can't win. Russia back down. Didn't send any soldiers into Poland. Hallelujah. And so this man has a plan. When he came into office, one of the things that he said, that he wanted the Pentecostal church and the charismatic movement to come in to the church. Amen. And they're ready to come in. A lot of them are ready. The world comes to church, it is dying to get into Rome. The Anglican church go down there and beg him several times to take them back home. And he finally took them home, and he went to England, and they proclaim him as the head of the church. You hear that? And he went to Germany. And you know, Germany is the seat of Luther. And Martin Luther had struck out against the Catholic Church, which brought all this Protestantism into being. And you know what the Lutherans told him? We don't see any reason why we shouldn't be one with you. There's no more reason. There's no more reason why we should not be under Rome. Amen. Went to Africa. The African church accepted him wholeheartedly. Amen. Went to India. India accepted him. Amen. And so it's becoming a worldwide movement towards Rome. And we wonder, why is he holding off? praise be to God. He's holding off mainly because the Holy Ghost is holding him off. But he says why he's holding off is that he wants everybody to come in one time. He wants to make a big swallow. He doesn't want to bite a little and nibble a little. He wants to get a whole thing. And so praise be to God. We are here and we are in trouble. Because God is here and we are all over the place. We, I hope, not in the altar court. Because if we still have in mind to do our own thing, we are outside there. If we still have in mind to get ourselves a pastor and to get under some big leader that will tell us what to do, we are still out there. But the joke about the cult, you know, it's a real joke to me that they went to the Catholic Church and they ask them, why would you say that this thing down in Champaign, Urbana, is a cult? And the Catholic moderator, whoever he said, it's a cult because if they say that the holy water is not holy. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Because they say, the boys down there say that the holy water is not holy, they're a cult. So we would be a cult too. Because we know there's nothing holy about that water. Amen. Praise be to God. But the worst part about it, I told you the best part, the worst part about it is that the Catholic Church is the biggest cult in the world. And all the other churches that have their pastor that say you must obey me is a cult because they're brainwashing the people. Amen. And they are not pointing them to Christ, they're pointing them to man. And wherever there is humanism, there is cultism.
Yes.
And I say that we are going to be persecuted as cults. But that's no problem for us. We are going to be persecuted because we have been lingering too long in the holy place. God says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, amen, that the Antichrist will rise up in the holy place, in the church, and he will put up himself as king, and that he will be accepted there. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 verse 15, he said, when you shall see this abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then he said, get out up into the mountains. Don't you know that God wants us at a special time to run and to get out? Now I'm asking you the question, what time is it now? Is it time to keep church? Is it time to have, feast and money raising programs? Is it time, amen, to begin to settle down in church? Or is it time to look to leave, to get out of this situation? Let me tell you the situation you need to be in. We need to be in a situation where when we hear God, we hear him for sure, we know it's God, we have no problem with that. Is this where we are, or we are still having some problems? Yes, I am. I am. You know, I hear God, and I hear God sure sometimes, but sometimes I'm not sure. Isn't that true? Now, preachers don't generally tell you these things. They say, you know, all of you down there need to hear God. You know, but I am hearing him. See, praise be to God. We are all in the same condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And some of us are just a little more in the same condition than others. Hallelujah. But I am saying that we have a problem.
Yeah.
We need to have that sure word.
Yes.
Very sure. And when we have that sure word, very sure, we move in a way that nothing will come between us and our forward trust, because we got the word of God, the Rhema, to go for it.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we have the Logos. We know what the Logos is saying. Mm-hmm. We know the Logos is saying at a certain time there will be a move. But we need the Rhema to say move.
Yes.
Amen. You see, when God called David and he said, David went to God and said, God, the Philistines have gathered against me. He said, should I go up and fight them? And God said, yes, you will go up. You'll fight against them, and you shall surely overcome them. So David took his men, and they went out to the battlefield, and they see the Philistines over there. So they say, now, God, what shall we do? Shall we attack them? Because David knew that there was a Logos and a Rhema. Yes. And no man must move on the Logos. But you must move on the Rhema. The Rhema is that word which put you into action. Now is the time. And God said, no, don't go. He said, you make a compass around them. Send your men and surround them. And he said, when you surround them, be quiet. He said, the angels of God will make a move first. And he said, when you see a rustling in the mulberry bush, said, that's your signal to go. Have you seen the rustling? You see what I mean? The fullness of time. God has a special time to move. And I'm saying, brethren, that I have discovered that we are working with angels. Now, whether you want to say I'm a way outer or whatever, I know we are working with spirits. I know that the forces of God are around us. And I know we can throw the whole thing out by making a wrong move. Amen. Bless God. Either move too quick or move too slow. God help us. We need to be on time. And to be on time, you have to be in tune with God. See, the fullness of time is on us. The time to move is on us. I'm going to share with you this evening something that God is telling me to do. Something I cannot do until you get the Rhema. Isn't that funny? God, show me the plan. The plan cannot be put into operation until his people come to the knowledge and get their ears anointed and their hearts anointed. Because, you know, we hear with our hearts.
Yes.
Rebecca might have been hearing with our ears, but we are hearing with our hearts. And I don't trust my ears. I don't trust my ears. If you tell me something, I said, yes, yes. But I've got to get it inside.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Praise be to God. So when we're talking to you about hearing, we're not talking to you about your ears. I've seen many people hear the same message with their ears, and they run. Run. But fools run when they hear something with their ears. Of course, not in the natural. For if you hear a fire alarm in this building, you better get out. Mm-hmm. Amen. But spiritually speaking, we must not make spiritual action until our hearts tell us this is it.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So we are standing before the mercy seat, before the veil, in time, but we are not there yet. Now, let me go back over it. The first move, then, that God wants us to bring us there is the union with Christ, that you must be a part of a movement in the earth called the body of Christ, an operation named the body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ is an operation. It's an operation. So God is moving his right hand here. He's moving his left hand here. He's doing this over here. He's doing that over here. He's moving his foot there. And he's moving. And you are part of that movement. Amen. So when your time comes to move, you better move with the right hand or with the left hand or with wherever you are. See what I'm saying? So God is doing something in the earth, and you need to be committed to God. Not to a church organization, a denomination, because the denomination, the organizations are not moving with God. You must go where the action is. Am I being plain? Good. The next move is the feeding on Christ. And we are short. We are short. We have not completed this feeding. Because we feed on Christ in three dimensions. From the Spirit of God within us. From the Spirit of God in the body. And from the Spirit of God. You understand what I mean? I mean that voice that I heard talking to me in the toilet. I was not in the group. I was not listening to anybody. I was not listening to my own heart. I was hearing something from outside coming to me in an audible voice. So this Christ is right here in this room, and he can talk to you like you talk to your friend. Amen. You hear me? So there's an operation there. There's an operation within. We are short there. Many of you reject the voice of God inside of you, the little voice in you that say, "Do so, oh, do so." You never pay attention to it. You listen to the big voice of the brother outside or the leader over there say, "Go here and go there." You don't do what the little voice tells you inside. The more you don't do that, the less you hear it. Did you know? The reason you cannot hear God is because you're not paying any attention to him. The more you disobey the inner voices, the smaller that inner voice becomes. Oh, glory to God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So we need to begin to obey the inner voice. You know, the elders of the church need to help the younger to obey the inner voice. I want you to do so and so. I would like everybody to gather here this evening. And I'd like to talk to everybody here this evening. But somebody comes and says, "I have a feeling that I should run back home." Now, we want you to be here, right? But you have a feeling that you should run back home. What should the elder advise? He said, "Run home and check it out. Run home, obey the voice within you, and check it out." That's how elders should be. But most of the elders say, no, we want you here, you stay here. You listen to elder's voice, reject God. Next time the voice is a little more distant. Don't you understand what I'm saying, brethren? So that is feeding on Christ from within. Then there's a voice in the body of Christ. A voice of prophecy. A voice of message like you're hearing now. That you, the Christ within you, must recognize that Christ out there, and there must be a union, and remember how you have received. You have to remember the move of the Spirit right now in your midst and how your heart responded. Because when you go out there, somebody's going to contradict it.
Amen.
Don't you understand? Or maybe you had a contradiction in you when you came here. But the brethren said, "Surely our hearts that burn within us, we know it was God." Okay, we're coming down. The next move was the operation here called the golden, the altar of incense. The scripture said that the incense is the prayer of the saints. The prayers of the saints going up. This is the place where you make your final sacrifice to God. And this is the place that most people can't. "No, God, I could never do that." God is asking you to give up your gift of tongues. To give up your gift of prophecy. To give up your gift of music. to give up your everything and say, God, I won't do anything unless you. So you lay down the things that God has given you back under God. You take off the golden crown and cast it before him. That thou art worthy. You, Jesus, operate me. And you become this move of giving up your soul, which is a terribly hard thing to do. You know what your soul is, brother? Your father and mother in you. All that you are inside that you love. Amen? Could you do that? All that you are and all that you'll ever be, you love it. Amen. You love to think of yourself as so-and-so. And God say, you give it up. Put it down. Put the fire on it. Light it. Don't you see what I'm saying? This asking to give up your soul is the most terrible sacrifice that you can ever make. Because you're no more of your non-person. After you have given up the person that you know, you love, you can operate your efficiency, you give it up to God and get God to operate it. Anything God operates in you, that you'll work by. Praise be to God. Sometimes you are put to shame. People walk over you. Yes. You have given up that soul nature. It's a terrible hard thing, and it burns you to do it. Of course, you lost the temple long ago. You have no more self-motion from God. Deal with it in here. You understand what I'm talking about? These are things we have to do now. We have to do it, because if we don't, we will not hear God clearly. And we are asking you, brethren, to make the final sacrifice before God. Amen? Praise God. That is the word before you tonight, this evening. We are standing before the golden altar. As far as God's time is concerned, the fullness of time is coming for Jesus Christ, the great high priest, to enter into the holiest of all. For Jesus Christ, the breakthrough between the spirit and the soul. How would you like to be mixed up with your spirit so that you don't know what is your soul from God? Your mind doesn't operate like... You see, if I want to do this, I make my mind think about it. I can get my mind to think about it. But if my mind is being controlled by a spirit and I just start thinking about it without my having anything to do with it, then I wouldn't be me anymore. I'd lose my own mind and get the mind of Christ. And this is what we're talking about. At midnight, there's a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. There's going to be a sudden descent of God within the church.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's going to descend in your being and take over your mind and your emotions. But you have to be right there at the door, offering that offering before God. God, take it. I don't want it. It is yours. I want to be like you, Jesus. And he said, anything, O God, I'll give anything to be like you. I'll give up everything that I am, everything that I own, everything that I could ever be. I want Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so, this is the place. The church never been there. The church cannot take you there. For if the church take you there, the church will lose the church.
Yes.
All they will gain is God. They will lose out. They'll gain God. And this is what we need to do. We need to move out of that realm of thinking, of church thinking, and move into the realm of understanding where the Christ of God is now leading the church. God is now leading us into a higher realm of understanding of Jesus Christ, wherein we give up this, and then we get the mark in our foreheads. Yes, the mark in the forehead means that God block off your mind. No devil can take your mind. Oh yes, there's such a thing. The communists could catch you and wire your brain and feed all the doctrines they want into you. You're going to come out shouting Jesus.
Hallelujah.
They cannot break through.
Hallelujah.
They have told me that they are having a hard time with the 10% of people, that they cannot break through with them. See? And I'm saying that this is the blockage that God is going to put into our mind. Because it will be the mind of Christ, and they can't do anything with the mind of Christ. Amen. And them emotions, you know. It's a terrible situation. But even the communists have found out that they can catch a man and he's steadfast for Christ and they can't move him, but they can tempt him with a woman and break him down. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we have to pass that stage. We have to pass that stage where we can be tempted by a woman or a man. See what I'm saying? Because here is what the golden altar is going to do for us. God himself will seal us. Will seal us so that nothing can move us. This is where we need to be at this hour. And I'm telling you before the thing happens. Because when the thing happens, you can, the only one way to get it is through tribulation. Amen. Yes. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise the name of Jesus.
In my